first reading from the Acts of the Apostles on this Feast of St. Stephen, the schematic account of his martyrdom. It's very interesting. You see, Stephen, filled with grace and power, was working great wonders and signs among the people. That's the way you preach the gospel, right? Great wonders and signs, and everybody knows there is a living God. And this happens whenever you need it. Whenever you need it, they're there. So Stephen was doing this, and so lots of people were saying, "And Jesus must be the Son of God. He's preaching it, and look what God is doing." And so certain members of the synagogue of freedmen, Cyrenians and Alexandrians, people from Cilicia and Asia, came forward and debated. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he spoke. Isn't that what Jesus just prophesied? "Do not worry about how you are to speak or what you are to say, for it will not be you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." You don't have to worry about that. Now that's marvelous, isn't it? I mean, this very simple, basic teaching. The Holy Spirit is the source of your life, of your strength, of your virtue, of your wisdom, of your persevering until the end. Given to us. And then, look at Luke showing us how this Holy Spirit identifies the believer with Jesus. Huh? "But he, filled with the Holy Spirit," hear it again, "looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.'" There he is. He's divine. "And they covered their ears and shouted, and they went," you see, "and started to stone him. And he prayed," okay? First, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." What did Jesus say in Luke's gospel when he was dying? "Into your hands I commend my spirit." But now he's not only praying to God the Father, he's praying to God the Son. And he just, you see, his identification with Jesus. "Into your hands I receive, you know, I commend my spirit." And then, "Lord Jesus, do not count this sin against them. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing." And that's why Jesus says, "Don't be worried." You see, we say, why do we do all this? The day after Christmas, whoop-de-doo, angels we have heard on high, and all of a sudden, Stephen, back to reality. No. What we sang yesterday is reality. And it's that reality that gives meaning to the rest. What we have been promised in the birth of Jesus Christ is eternal life. And now, there's a meaning to everything else. Now there's a meaning. And so hurry, tell everybody. Before they die, tell them. Tell them who God is and what he's done. Tell them. And, you know, if they hate you, don't worry. I will be there. I will tell you what to do. Don't be afraid. And so we have this text where, incidentally, if you read it closely, Jesus is not only telling the future of his disciples, he's describing it in terms of his own future, right? "They'll hand you over to courts. They'll scourge you. You will be led before governors and kings." Isn't that what happened to Jesus? "You're going to be identified with me. But when they hand you over, don't worry about it. That's pretty strong advice, right? Suppose they came in the store now and took us all off to jail. Don't worry about it. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? But the Holy Spirit is so powerful. And what He wants to do now in our lives is give us that experience of what He does for us. Now, we can certainly know this by inference, huh? Here we are, day after Christmas, everybody had a big party. And here we are, 7:30 in the morning at Mass. The Holy Spirit must have done something, that's for sure, right? See, and that's inference. We know He helped us. But there's more. It's experiencing His help, knowing it, feeling His energy, His love, His power, enthusiasm. So you say, hot ziggity, I can die to sin. That's the Holy Spirit. Not just inference. And that's the normal Christian life. So that means we're all abnormal, right? But you see, that's the promise. So the reason why the church does this is so that it says, look, Jesus is born among us. Hallelujah. God Himself is here in a humanity just like ours. God is here like that. God Himself is here among us. Don't be distracted by the noise. Listen. God Himself is here among us in a humanity. Still, we can see His eyes. We can hear His voice. That's God. And that's the work of the Holy Spirit to do that for us. But it's not over. We're not in heaven. We're called to greater things than this, to slug it out through life and make it. We're called to a radiant, glorious heaven forever. And that's why they put this feast here. So you'll see, you know, this is not exactly what it's like. Christmas is like a sign pointing. That's where we're going. Well, you know, you don't stop at the sign. If I'm driving down the road and there's a sign, Rockville, I don't stop and park under the sign. That's not Rockville. It's the sign to Rockville. So the birth of Jesus Christ from His lovely mother is a sign of the eternal life to which He calls us. So we don't park at the sign. We go on and live our life in the power of the Lord among us. And that's all the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what it's all about. You see, our problem is what? Well, okay, yesterday was great. We had a good meal, a little bit of wine, hallelujah, fine. Now we're back to reality. No. If you're not as happy today as you were yesterday, then you're not in reality. Is it harder today? Yeah, sure. Harder in the outside, like, but not harder in the inside. That's why the church does this. It's to so that the joy of His presence among us will always be there until we enter into His presence. That's why right after Christmas we have this martyrdom. We have been born into this new life. Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came mystically to His body yesterday, to us as well. Ponder it. Don't let it slip through your fingers. Where was that yesterday that Jesus did that for you? Came to you, to His whole body. Well, it was proclaimed in a way by the Pope in his Christmas message, right? In which he talked about the verbum abbreviatum, the word becoming so small, he became. And now we must care. Look, with God among us, look what we're doing. We have armies of little kids killing each other in Africa. We have the war in Iraq. We have abortion. We have poverty. That's the challenge now. Take this power, this energy, this life, and give it away. You know, there's a truth about spiritual things. You never lose them when you give them away. I got a box of cookies upstairs for Christmas, and I give it to you. I don't have it anymore. You have it. I tell you about Jesus. I've got it, and you've got it. I don't lose anything. That's why Jesus says, freely you received, freely give. You never paid for it. And you're not even going to lose it. In fact,